to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. We're going to worship that song a little bit later, so you'll get an opportunity. Thanks, Brian. Worship was amazing. Before we carry on tonight, there's, well, I'm going to call both of you up, Nancy. Nancy is departing for now, and then Gert is departing later. But we just from our side, we're just gonna pray for there for Nancy specifically and send her. Is Alex outside? Probably. He's on. Are you in there? No. Lorraine, will you come on? Yeah, Nancy, thanks for the years of serving throughout the studies and hard work and everything. I think Alex is outside, and I know that they've walked a closer road with you guys than I personally have. But yeah, it's exciting for the road ahead, for the two of you. And we're glad that you were here for a season, and that we could have had a part in that. Yeah, shall we pray? Cool. As Father God, we just wanna, as we're sending out Nancy today, God, we just wanna come and just pray your blessing, your protection, God, over the Gert and Nancy, God, over their relationship, God, as they're gonna be just apart for a little bit, God, over just over distance, God, we just wanna send her with a blessing, God, and just declare your blood over them, over their relationship, God, over their communication, God, in Jesus' name, God. And we thank you, God, that even in this time that you will make their hearts grow fonder, God, even as they do not see each other every day, God. I want to thank you, God, for the hard yards that they've sown into this place, God, for the prayers, for the relationships that they build, God, that they've been faithful, yeah, God. And we thank you, God, that we can send specifically Nancy now, God, into this new season, God. And we just pray your blessing over it, and see these swing doors almost like gates. We thank you, God, that as she goes through these gates, God, there's new things, God, that you have in store for her there, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you that you've prepared her for this. Thank you that you've prepared her to walk through those gates, God, on this road. And thank you that as she walks through that, she can know, God, that she's not alone as she goes through that, God. That yes, Gert is with her, but inevitably, God, that you stick closer than a brother, God. And that in everything, God, she can partner with you. We thank you, God, that you will just bless the works of her hands. Whatever she puts her hands to, God, that she'll just have favor, God, with people and setting up the businesses and just with the relationships that she's going to build, God. We thank you just for sweet-smelling aroma, God, that will emanate just from her, God, that would draw people unto yourself, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, thank you, Lord, for a faithful heart, Lord, and just the blessing that she's been, Father, and the blessing it was just to see her grow and grow in you, Father, and grow to expand that love, the Lord, the love that you've flowed into her heart unto others, Father. And thank you, Lord, that you are making their path straight, Father, that you're already preparing divine appointments for them, Lord. Thank you for a community who's waiting for them, Father. Thank you for the light that they're going to be in that community, Lord, and the change they're going to bring, Father, just by their lives just shining your light and being salt, Lord, wherever they go, Father. Thank you, Lord, that the work that you have prepared for them are good, Lord, and Lord, that you will fulfill it for them, Lord, and through them, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. We praise you for good testimony that's going to come back, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, and Lord, thank you that you've been shaping Nancy, Lord, already been molding her, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the blessing that she's been to us, Lord God, as a congregation, Lord God, and even just as a zone and small group, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for her heart, Lord. Thank you, Father, for their willingness to always host, Lord God, and to serve, Lord. And Lord God, that this coming time is just another chapter, Lord God, that you're using, Lord God, to to have them be a blessing to this world, Lord God. Both Gert and Nancy, Lord God. And that you're the one leading them and protecting them, Lord God. That you're the one flowing through them, Lord God, with the power of your presence, Lord God, to minister to people's lives, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you open up the doors, Father, widely where Nancy's going, Lord, to be that blessing, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're still working through her in her, Lord God, to shape her, Lord God, in being also that oak of righteousness, Lord God, in your garden, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, and that you'll send a specific people to fellowship with, Lord God, and to care with, Lord God, to have a good time with, Lord. And Father, while Gert is at home, Lord God, that you're also sculpting him, Lord God, and using him, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for your favor on his student, on his patient numbers, Lord God, and his work, Father, and to get everything done here at the side, Lord. Thank you, Father, that in this time, Lord God, that you're going to be sculpting them, Lord God, you're going to be shaping them, Father, so that when they reunite, Lord God, they can be a powerful couple once again, Lord, in your kingdom, Lord. Thank you, Father, for raising up these mighty people, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Okay, thank you. I just want to say thank you so much for everything that everyone's meant to us, but really, for everything you've put into my life. I've grown so much, and I've learned so much from Shofar as our family. Specifically, something that stood out for me in the last few months is just the unselfishness in this family. Just how, just everyone sacrifices their time and all their anything. Just that has really stuck out for me in the last few months, and it's taught me so much. So, just that unselfishness is amazing in this family, and I thank you for that.
Cool, thanks, Ben.
We have the privilege of having Pastor Jaco Prinsloo in the house tonight, and his wife and beautiful girl. So welcome, Jaco. I think the other two is in the baby's room. Did you prepare a message for tonight? Not. No, just kidding. No, it's good having you here. For those that haven't been with us for very long, Jaco was the first pastor here in the Shofar Johannesburg congregation. And they are in London at the moment, and I think they're just visiting us for a short bit. So it's nice seeing you. I have the privilege of sharing a huge amount in a very short space of time, and that huge amount, I also don't know necessarily what it is, everything. Yeah, so I know that the reason why we're only saying really three songs tonight is because I really believe that God wants to come and facilitate something in the worship after the message. So we're going to worship a little bit more after the message, and I'm going to try and keep it as short as possible, and then we'll see what the Holy Spirit comes and does amongst us. So be expectant and open up your hearts for whatever the Lord comes and brings to each and every one of us. And let me just pray before we start. Father God, we just want to come and just submit ourselves unto you, Lord, and say, Lord, come and have your way. Lord, tonight it is all about you. Our whole lives are all about you, God. All of existence is all about you. Tonight, God, we come into your presence with the thanksgiving and praise, and we want to leave things that are holding us back, God, and we want to just really just encounter with you and meet you and see you and hear you. And tonight, God, I just commit myself unto you, Lord, and just let the words that are being spoken, God, just be that from you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, I'm gonna talk about a word that God just dropped in my spirit during the week. Now, over the last 2 months, there was a lot happening. For me personally, there was a lot happening. I went to three weddings, turned 30, went to the conference, three different people in one of our small groups, family members of them passed away. I think about three or four babies were born in these last month and a half, 2 months. So you got these opposite side of the spectrums of new life, but also of death and weddings, people coming together, getting older, all sorts of things. And I went to Wits on Friday with Christine and them at this bridge build that they had, and I could get away from work early, so I was there. And then one of the students asked me, "So, are you like one of the lecturers?" I'm like, "No, unfortunately not. I receive the authoritative figure, but the age thing, I don't know." But anyway, so there was a lot that happened, and obviously out of the conference as well, there was this huge amount of heart impartation. And as I was asking God what He wants me to share, still didn't decide. And then just one morning in quiet time, I sit just like in the beginning of quiet time, I ask God, "So God, how are you?" Sort of a weird question to ask, but still I asked it. And He said, "I'm holy." And you know, when God says something like that, it's not, it's a real definitive statement. Now, obviously, from there, that's where the title of tonight comes, and that's why it's an inverted commas, is because it's specifically something that God just told me, like, "I'm holy," and it very much snowballed from there. And I want to also just, what I believe that God wants to call us to tonight is that the message is about, it's a call to worship Him. Because when God says, "I am holy," and we sort of start understanding that, then we can't help but just fall flat on our face, really. That's why a lot of times when, like, praise is thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving and praise. And you're like, "God, you're great, you're awesome, you're magnificent." The moment you see God, I mean, Scripture says that you enter into God's presence with thanksgiving and praise. But the moment you see God for who He is, you cannot but help and transform or turn that praise into worship, of where you're like, "Whoa, God, you're great," and you turn it around and like, "Wow, God, you are amazing," sort of thing. And I believe that God wants to come and show something about Himself tonight for us, so that we would be transformed even more and more to His likeness. Because one thing it is, it's a call to worship God for who He is, but it's also for us a call to holiness. And it's going to very much revolve around those two or three things. And although I've divided into a lot of scriptures into pointers, you can't really separate God's holiness, our call to holiness, and just worshiping God. So I've tried to do that, but bear with me. All right. And then the comedian on Friday, we had this Hollard conference where I'm working now, and this guy, that guy from the Eastern Cape, and he was joking about it. He's like Africans, black Africans, like, they can have church forever. Like, you as a child there, you tug on your mom, you're like, "Mom, I'm hungry." And then they're like, and just take out an apple and say, "All right." So he was playing this whole thing. He's like, "Yeah, us blacks, we don't know where to stop. We're like, we finish like at quarter to Tuesday." And he said, like, "But I like your white oaks, like, services, because you like, when it's 12 o'clock, you're like, ha, 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 wrap it up. And I hope, the reason I'm actually just sharing that is we are going to worship after the message again. And what's going to flow out of there, I do not know. Okay? But if you do need to go at 6 o'clock, I have grace for that, and God has grace for that, and you have to go put your child in bed, and you might have another appointment or whatever. But I do not know. Maybe we do finish at 6. But during the worship, if you do need to go, then you are released to go. But however, if we need to go on to 7 just because the Holy Spirit is busy moving, then we're going to do that. But so if you are very anxious right now, then start praying that God will not take us to there, right? Okay. So first of all, just about the holiness of God. And I'm not gonna share a teaching about the holiness of God, because I think there's too much to say, and I think there's too much for me to get wrong about the holiness of God. And therefore, mainly what I've done is I've reverted to quite a bit of scripture, and I'm going to read it. The scripture's just going to be flighted up there, but it's not going to, the full scripture is not going to be on there. Okay, now first of all, God's holiness commands a certain amount of respect and fear. Because it's like a moth candle sort of example. If the moth do not respect the candle in an appropriate way, he's going to die. And it's a pretty obvious example, and too many moths do that. So don't be a moth tonight, all right? Well, the reason I'm saying that is because God is holy, and the thing is, sin and all of those things cannot enter into his holiness, because the moment you bring something that is not holy into God's holiness, then it's not holy anymore. You get what I'm saying? It's like oil and water that doesn't mix, but in this case it does mix, and the one becomes unholy. And the thing is, there's that example out of where David, they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and I think about 30,000 guys, and they were just having a ball and the ox and everything. And then the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament is what carried the presence of God. And the moment, there was a moment where one of the oxes stumbled, and one of the guys that walked beside it stretched out his hand to sort of keep it from falling. And the moment he did that, the Lord struck him down and he died right there. And then there was a whole repercussions of all sorts of other things. But the point I'm trying to make there is that, yes, even though his intentions was good in terms of stabilizing this, there was an understanding that he lacked towards the presence of God, and the sort of almost call it protocol in terms of approach coming to God. And that's why he died. And therefore, if God can only show that much of himself to us, because if God had to manifest in his full glory here tonight, we would all die. But we want to grow closer to God. And the way that we grow closer to God is by conforming and being transformed more and more and more into his likeness. And the more we get transformed, the more we can actually see of him. And the great thing about God is that he never ends, and his goodness never ends, and the things to discover of God, it never ends. So to be a Christian can never be boring if you have a living relationship with God. If it does get boring, then there is slightly something that is missing, and that is just encountering God anew. Yeah. I want to share a scripture here, Psalm 99, verse 1 to 5, and then from 8 to 9. You'll see, just a side note, if it's got an asterisk next to it, that's the New King James Version. Most of the other scriptures that doesn't have that, it comes from the NIV. So that's just if you were going to look it up and you don't get to quite the same wording as I do. Okay, for a lot of the scriptures, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to really engage into just your mind's eye. And so just your spiritual eyes, okay? Because there's certain pictures that are going to come out. And so just stay with me, okay? The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his footstool. He is holy. And from verse 8, you answered them, O Lord, our God. You were to them God who forgives. Though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. It is funny though, sometimes in other religions, or other cultures sometimes, there's people that have that understanding of holiness. Holy ground is holy, and you do not mess with it. Like when we're in India with Hindus, and they understand a sort of a concept of holiness in the temples, and they take off their feet, and there's silence, and there's all sorts of things, but they do understand a certain amount of respect for that which is holy. Also, when Christina and I went to South America, to Peru, we did like an Inca trail hike to Machu Picchu. And it's also like a sacred thing. And there's an altar here, and there's a guy mummified there, and all sorts of weird things. But they also understood some sort of a thing of holiness and something that is sacred. And the thing that I just want to bring home to us tonight is that when we approach God, and especially when we worship God, keep this in mind that there's a certain amount of respect that God and God's presence and His glory demands almost, and a fear, but not like an afraid as well. But as soon as God pitches and there's rumbling and thunder and all sorts of things, you're going to be a little bit afraid. But it's more out of an awe and a respect. It's not out of a necessarily I'm going to kill you sort of thing. Although it might happen. Don't worry, it's not going to happen. Actually, this is what I want to bring home, is that a lot of the times, and it applies to me as well, is that a lot of the times we're very, very casual with God. Like, He's not necessarily my surfer buddy or my boo, or that sort of thing. God is God. Yes, He is our friend, and yes, He is our best friend. But that doesn't make God our peer, if you get what I'm saying. That makes us His peer. God didn't say, I'm coming to yoke with you. He said, you come and yoke with me, meaning on His terms, not on your terms. So all I'm just saying there is that a lot of times I'm very casual with God, and God is just saying, it has been great till now, but now I need you to, there's something that I need you to catch here. If you want to come deeper with me. Okay. And then just in terms of our call to holiness, there's another scripture there. I think my notes got mixed up slightly. Yeah. No, I didn't. There's another scripture there which you can go and read in your own time, but which is, it's also just a powerful, powerful picture of what God comes and does. Okay, and then just in terms of our call to holiness, God says, come and be holy. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 to 16 says, therefore with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope in the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, there's a little bit of a challenge there, because we're not holy, but God says, come to me, be holy. And yes, I mean, it gives it away that the God's grace and Jesus Christ and what He has done, that's the way of us to get holy. What are we left to do? Yes, we come back to the cross of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way. I'm read one or two scriptures out of Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 10 verse 9, verse 10, 19 and 22. I've highlighted certain scriptures out of it, but you can go and read the whole part in context, because you know, it's great, but I can obviously not put all of that scriptures here. So verse 10, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and then verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The context there is where he's writing that these are the law, the old law in the Old Testament is a shadow of the things that are to come in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. And just sort of a side note, just in terms of when you share your testimony with somebody that doesn't have a Christian background, Scripture talks about that the Greeks or the Gentiles, the gospel, it is foolishness to them, but to the Jews it's a stumbling block. The reason he's saying that is because if you had to walk down a road here, and you preach the cross of Jesus Christ there, they have all the legacy of creation, God, Jehovah, sacrifices, the penalty of sin being death, if there isn't a sacrifice, they have all of that sort of behind them. And then they come to the cross of Jesus Christ and they say, okay, but this Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. He is the atonement of sins, that sort of thing. So it's a stumbling block to them, which they need to overcome if they want to go further. Sadly, some of them do not end going further, but that's just illustrating the point. Now, the Gentiles come from this side. They do not have this background. So they do not understand necessarily creation or sacrifices or the penalty of sin is death or whatever, or the legacy or the whole run up to the Messiah having to come. And therefore, then they come there and they're like, okay, what, dude, you're saying I need Jesus. Surely that's stupid. Why do I need Jesus? I have a car. I'm doing fine. I'm enjoying life. I've got a great car. Whatever. But so when you share your testimony, especially with somebody that's a Gentile or a Greek, then it's important for them to understand the whole road that actually leads up to the cross and why that is important. So that's just something on the side. After verse 22, it's like Jesus' blood comes and cleanses our hands and our consciences. I just want to grab my Bible here quickly. I just want to touch on Psalm 24, actually. Just bear with me. Turn to somebody next to you and say, be holy. Sorry about that. Okay, it says here, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. He who may ascend the hill of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, and does not lift up his soul to an idol, will swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Shuts is his generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. And tonight there's a lot of people that feel that they've got dirty hands, and that their hearts aren't pure because of whatever reason. Albeit you've done something and guilt and condemnation has set in, or the devil has come and lied to you about you being a worm and you're not actually able to actually approach God's throne room. But what the scripture in Hebrews says is we can draw near to God's throne room with boldness because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Do not try and draw near to the throne of God without the blood of Jesus Christ. Either you're not, God will most likely not permit you, but if you do manage it, you'll probably die. Don't worry, you won't be able to do it though. Okay. All I'm saying is that tonight, and I believe that God wants to do this during worship, is that we come into the presence of God through the cross and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Our first stop tonight is at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, you wash my iniquities away. You wash my guilt away. You wash everything. You break every bondage that there is possibly in my life that would withhold me from actually entering into your presence. Now, one thing is that a lot of times we stay at the foot of the cross of Christ, which is a good place to be. But in terms of entering God's presence, and a couple of years back, a couple that was here from the Netherlands shared actually this picture of where she saw her wanting to come into God's presence, but sort of feeling very guilty. And not to sketch the whole picture, but then she was in, but then she thought that she still had this guilt or this sin or whatever. And then God the Father just pointed to her and said, the moment you entered into that door, it didn't enter. So the way that I see you, you are perfect and you are holy. So you can draw near with confidence and with boldness. Okay. You guys get the picture? All right. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 5 and verse 7 says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, sanctification is basically the process of being made holy. And in Afrikaans, sanctification is called heiligmaking. So it's actually quite a nice translation in terms of Afrikaans there. Should be sanctified. That you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And then verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And this next one or two or three scriptures deals a little bit with lust, but it, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and with pride of life. And what we see there in 1 John 1 verse 15, it's not up there, but if you want to jot it down, 1 John 1 verse 15 and 17, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is in the world. And those three things actually encompasses a lot of things that we struggle with a lot of times. And that actually comes and wants to bowl us over in hindering us from actually entering into God's presence. Lust of the flesh. Yeah, I think lust of the flesh is basically desiring after another woman or another. Yaku, you can help me right here. and for a woman, a guy, and sometimes a guy, and a woman, which is also not biblical and that sort of thing. But it's lust of the flesh, okay? You lusting after flesh. Pornography, masturbation, that sort of thing. Okay, lust of the eyes is, ooh, there goes a sports car. I want a sport car. I have to have it. I start obsessing about it. I have to have this bigger house. Ladies, I have to have those shoes. Those are more lust of the eyes sort of things. It's things that we want and that we start obsessing about because we do not have it. And there's a lack of contentment that comes into it there. And then the other one is a pride of life. And I want to echo what Heinrich said last week. If you want to experience hearing God's voice, start going to intercession, because there was like a lot of stuff that was shared, was prayed in intercession, was some of the scriptures that I'm going to still share, and was very spot on. And we prayed a lot about pride as well. And pride hinders us very much to enter into God's presence, because we feel we have a right to certain things. And God says, like, what are you on about? I mean, that's my own layman terms. But the thing is, like, either we perceive God is not trustworthy, he's not good, or whatever, and we start building up pride on our own lives. And what we need to do tonight is, when we enter into God's presence, when you come to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, say, Lord, I humble myself tonight, and I lay down my pride, because it's not about me, and it is about you, it's about your kingdom. It's about your love for me. It's about your love for the world. And that's maybe a little bit of a hard one, because some of us are feeling, you're but this and you're but this and you're but that guy did this and whatever. And God is saying, no buts. Just come to me. But on my terms. Okay. Ephesians 5 verse 3 says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Just on that, I got a good book, and just on the guys for a moment. There's a, not necessarily a rumor, yeah, but what I pick up a lot of times is that masturbation is something that, or lust and that sort of thing, is a thing that you're going to struggle with until you get married, and that is a lie. Okay? The book is not necessarily everything, but it revolves around the scripture of, let there not even be a hint of sexual immorality. So do not entertain even the slightest bit. Okay. Meaning, whatever it is. Okay. There's certain things that you can install onto your computers. There's certain things, probably on your phone, which block certain things. Okay. Which is a temptation, whatever. Get 5 other guys in your short list of contacts or speed dial if you feel you're being tempted and you need to get out of a hot situation, sort of thing. Okay, that book, and God dealt with that in my life about 2 years before Christine and I got married. And I can testify that it is, that you can overcome it. All right, so it's not. All right. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 to 21. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And I know Johannes laughing because he had the scripture in intercession. And I just had a grin on my face when that came up. And what God is saying here is that He makes us holy. Okay, that's the first thing. He comes and He makes us holy. Okay, there's things that are for common use and there's things that are for holy use. I don't think this is what it said, but this is what it comes down to. And when God calls us, He calls us to be holy and therefore depart of the things that are of common use. There's certain things in our lives that we need to bury. Things that we are busy with, things that we are entertaining that does not align with the purposes of God. Okay, that doesn't facilitate God's holiness in your life. And those things we need to lay down. Okay, and then the other thing is that the last one, they're useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. If anybody says that you must not get involved in works, that is a lie. It's a place where you need to come with and actually start working. Okay, and there are certain things in the kingdom of God where you actually need to put your hands to the plow and do something. It's not just about me sitting at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. He makes us holy in order that the master can use us for any good work. Okay, yes, there's an element of you need to walk in obedience. Yes, there are seasons where you just need to sit at the foot of Jesus Christ and you need to scale down a little bit. And you get so much in the works but after you sit at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, after you've been made holy, then there is a place of being used by the Master. So everybody's still awake? Okay. There's one or two scriptures there that is going to come up where you're actually going to read it with me, and then it's probably going to get a little bit more fun. So hang in there. Psalm 30 verse 1 to 5 and then verse 11 to 12 says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up, and you have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you. You healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. And that's, you know, just that. And give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. If you don't know what to be thankful for, be thankful for the remembrance of His holy name. Okay? For His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Some of you have lost some dear people to you, passing away, now recently. And God comes and says that although weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And there's a joy in God's presence, even in a time of mourning. Okay, mourning for somebody's death or whatever. There's still a sense of joy and contentment that God actually comes and He brings, but it only actually happens in His presence and through God. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Some of us here are very scared to actually let rip when God starts stirring in our hearts. Yeah, while we're here, you are scared that somebody around you are going to think something funny if you just jump up and down, or you're going to shout, or you just fall flat in your face, or whatever. You, a little bit fear of man. And tonight I'm trusting that goes out the door. And if you want to rejoice or dance or whatever, for what God wants to do, has done in remembrance of it, or you don't necessarily feel like it, but yes, it's a desire, then just drag somebody next to you and say, listen, just pray with me quickly because I want to dance, but I'm not like a sure, whatever. Okay, and it's not, we're not going to see who dances the best. We're not going to have a dance-off or anything like that. Okay. No, the crux of the matter. Okay, our response to the holiness of God. Now I'm gonna let that side shout it out to this side of the room. Okay, so this is where you're gonna get interactive. That's where the volume needs to go. Isaiah 6 from verse 1-4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, right. Okay, wait. Yes. Okay, bring that scripture up. Yes. Okay, now what happened here is these seraphim were flying around, and then they were shouting to each other. They were shouting this to each other. Now, I want you guys to shout as loud as you can to this side, and then you guys are going to do the same to that side. Okay? And then I need you to just engage something in your hearing here and multiply whatever you're hearing with a million at least. Okay? So use your imagination a little bit. Okay? I'm going to take the microphone away, and I'm going to shout with you. Okay? Because it's going to... Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Okay, let's try that again. No, that's not what it says there, Jill. Okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Okay, these guys. 1, 2, 3.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Everybody together.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Revelations 4-5, you can read the whole chapters, but there's just a couple that I'm going to highlight out of here. From verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature like a face of a man, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. The fourth living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him, who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Now when, this is from verse 8, 5 verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, before you go there, they sang a new song. Tonight, God is going to release new songs out of your lips tonight. You don't have to sing the words that are on the screen. If you feel a desire just to sing, Lord, you are holy, you're magnificent, you're omnipotent, you are awesome, God. You are crazy cool, whatever. Okay, if you have a desire just to utter whatever is going on in your heart, do that tonight. Okay. And they sang a new song saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. I'm going to read this last scripture as a band just comes up again. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth, saying among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and let all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Let us stand. During the worship, I believe that God is going to highlight certain things for different individuals and maybe facilitate it from the front, maybe not. Wherever you feel yourself or being at, you know, the guys that were in intercession, just raise your hands quickly. Just look around you. There's guys and there's girls that were in intercession. Okay? And then the facilitators, just raise your hands. Small group facilitators. Okay. See those people around you. If you feel that there's a hindrance that is hindering you from entering the presence of God, I want you just to turn to one of them and just call them to come and pray. I'm not gonna call you to the front. Wherever they are at, just call them. Just say, pray with me. Maybe you don't feel it now. Maybe you feel it later if there's a hindrance or whatever. Maybe it's an accusation. Maybe it's you just need somebody to pray with you in terms of laying down pride, in terms of repenting of certain things. Whatever it is, do not quench away. Do not miss out in worshiping God in the splendor of his holiness. Because I can tell you that that is awesome forbay. Okay? And if you're missing out on that, I don't want you to miss out on that. Okay? Do not miss out on it. If you feel that there's a hindrance in that, then I need you to ask somebody just to pray with you. Okay, because there's something that God comes and establishes and comes to show himself to us of his holiness, of his glory. And that is unreal. That is out of this world. Let's just close our eyes. So Father God, as we come to worship you tonight, God, we come and lay down our lives. We can lay down the crowns of our own lives. And we acknowledge, God, that you are almighty, you are good, you are trustworthy, you are faithful. And whatever lie that there is that any of us are entertaining that is opposite of that, I just silence that now in Jesus' name and say that the Lord is good and his faithfulness endures forever. He is trustworthy and he is for you, he is not against you. So come to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and enter into his holiness, into the presence of his holiness. Let's worship God. So I just want to extend an invitation. I believe that there's at least one person that cannot sing this song, or they're struggling to sing this song, that do not have the assurance of salvation in their hearts, that do not feel that they can sing that, Abba, Father, I belong to you. And as everybody's eyes are closed, I'm not going to call you to the front. I just want where you are at. I just want you just to raise your hand. And I'm going to lead all of us in that same prayer. So you're not going to be put on the spot except for raising your hand, and I'm going to see it. And it's actually not raising your hand for me. It's you're raising your hand for God. If you do not have assurance of salvation, and I want to just say it very bluntly that there is assurance and salvation in the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you do not have that assurance, I want you just to quickly raise up your hand. I'm not going to prolong it for very long, but if you have that tugging in your heart that I cannot sing this song, Abba, I belong to you, I want you just to slip up your hand. Okay. If that is you, and while we are worshiping further, you feel comfortable with somebody that you came with and you just want to pray with them about it, I want to encourage you, pray with that person that you came with. Because I cannot tell you how much you're missing out on, just in terms of the holiness and the glory of God, for one. But for two, just missing God's eternal salvation. And yes, it's not going to be all sunshine and roses and things, but God comes and brings us everlasting life. And yes, there's a cost that you must count. In Jesus' name. Just, Philip, we just want to show that clip quickly. Okay, not the clip, the song. I'm going to play you guys a song. If you feel comfortable and your knees allow it, I just want you just to go down on your knees and just receive what the song is ministering. And then we're going to continue worshiping.
You're infinitely beautiful.
Lord, just as a church, God, we just want to come and repent, God, of any pride that we have, God. Lord, that we have as a congregation, God, just of thinking that we are superior, thinking that we are great, thinking that, Lord, anything that we are, anything that is to our profit or to our, or to our loss, God, we, everything of that, we count it all as loss for the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. We lay down our pride before you tonight, God. Our individual pride, but our pride as a group collectively, God, and say, Lord, you are holy. It's only by you that we are being made holy. And we choose to lay down every part of our hearts, every part of our minds, every part of all of our lives to come into the reignship, to the lordship of Jesus Christ, our Lord. For we want to know you in the power of your resurrection and in the fellowship of your suffering, God. Come and impart just your heart unto us, God.